Hi, my name's Hunter. I'm here as the host of the Another Angle podcast. We're here in the Right Angle office. We've got Magdalene here chatting on behalf of the Right Angle team. She's going to be chatting about her weight loss journey and, yeah, all things Right Angled. You can listen to the session on Spotify, Apple Music, and if you're already here, on YouTube as well. Great to have you on, Magdalene. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day in the very busy customer service role that you have.
Rampant,
some might say. You know, that's some might also say that's almost busier than marketing, almost.
I wonder who says that.
No one in particular. So we've got you on to have a chat about obviously your relationship with Right Angle, but then also the fact that you've just recently started your weight loss journey.
Yeah.
Obviously you've started medication. So I guess kind of just getting a breakdown of how that looked from an earlier age, like, you know, what, I guess, give us a breakdown of what your environment looked like growing up.
So my relationship with food was it was normal. Like every other kid, you weren't that obsessed with food. It was just, you want to go out, play. So, and I had this like weird habit of eating with the smallest spoon that I could find.
Fair. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people could relate to that. That's
exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
And I would take extremely long to eat. So my whole family would be finished. And my mum would say to me like, dinner's finished. You need to leave now. You need to get up. I need to stop eating.
It's funny. So, okay. So what, like your eating habits were more or less about like grazing rather than like just trying to get everything in, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I wasn't that interested in food. I was more about, I just want to be a kid. It's just things changed as I got older. But yeah. That's how it started off, really.
Interesting. So you were quite active, obviously, in your childhood. Like, you never really had kind of that negative relationship. Obviously, I guess the awareness of, like, diet and nutrition, was it there? Like, was it not? What were you aware of, kind of, I guess, the nutrient intake that you needed? It seems like your family was pretty good with making sure that you were eating enough. So
yeah, they fed me.
Yeah, that's good.
I knew, like, I shouldn't have donuts for breakfast because...
Yeah, but every kid wants donuts for breakfast.
It's true.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big breakfast fan. I'm still not. I was very active. I loved playing sports. I never really thought about food. It was just, I want to be outside. I want to do something, keep busy.
Okay, interesting. So, I mean, it sounds like kind of that upbringing, obviously, I'm assuming through your childhood and then into your teenage years, you were active, you know, you're making the most of having your body and being mobile. So where did it kind of fragment or fracture as you went down the line into adulthood? Like was there a time where that, I guess, that exercise regime kind of changed or were you a bit more relaxed on kind of the food front? Like what triggered you to kind of change those habits?
I don't know. I think it was really gradual.
Okay.
I used to take part in five different sports.
Yeah, five sports.
I was obsessed.
Yeah.
I used to play netball, football. No, I was really bad. But I will not go into that.
Okay, I mean, at least you tried though, right? You know, you're still getting out
there. It was terrible.
Yeah. So there's no video evidence anywhere that we can pop on the screen.
I'm really thankful there is no video evidence.
Okay, that's good. Oh, yeah, Loic, you can go have a dig for that if you want as well.
No, that's fine. I think as you get older, you just get more bored. Like with boredom, you end up eating more.
Definitely.
You end up going with your friends to the fish and chip shop. When you know you're not hungry, you just want to eat.
Yeah, I guess I think it's one of those things, obviously, one, having adult money, I think kind of that education split between like leaving home and then like going to university or going and like living with friends or like just having to deal with it in isolation by yourself without, I guess, you know, your parents kind of guiding the way. Like you do have the tendency to like formulate bad habits. I know for a fact that I did as well. I didn't have a clue what I was doing until I was probably about 23, which wasn't that long ago. So, you know, I completely understand that. So, yeah, I mean, it makes complete sense that obviously certain priorities change over time, right? Like you'd rather spend time with friends and family. And I guess a lot of the time that does center around kind of like food and drink. Yeah. I'm certain like you don't really drink too much alcohol, if I'm correct.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So I guess is it more or less just centered around food? Like if you're meeting with people, it will be kind of in that gathering scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like something you look forward to. It's like an icebreaker.
Yeah, definitely.
When you're meeting with your friends, you're thinking, what am I going to order?
I hear that. Yeah, exactly.
So I kind of became like obsessed, not all the time, just like if I saw something like a video on TikTok, I'd be like, I have to eat this. And I'll think about it all day until I had the meal. And then you just feel guilty and things like that. But
it is, I mean, especially having recently moved to London as well, I find it very difficult to not go and launch at half of these restaurants and cafes you just see plastered all over the internet, because it is, you know, there is a lot of temptation out there kind of thing. And obviously I think especially with eating out, you're not really necessarily knowing how much you're really putting into your body. So I think if that becomes like consistent habit, obviously it's great to treat yourself kind of thing, like never saying otherwise, but I think when it does become more consistent, I guess you kind of lose control of knowing what's going in and what you're exerting as well, especially with the exercise front. Okay, so kind of speeding up to now. So can you let us know like how long I guess you've been on the medication for?
3 months.
Okay, so relatively fresh.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any, I guess, substantial changes? I guess how long did it take you to respond to the medication?
Well, I had I knew I was going to go on the medication.
Yeah.
So I bought some meal plans, like meal prep boxes.
I have seen
which
them at lunch.
Everyone knows about now. So I kind of knew that I need to take myself out of the equation, because I knew if I'm in the kitchen, even if I cook, it's either the meal prep is extremely awful and you cannot consume it.
Yeah, I've had that before.
Exactly. The chicken's very dry.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I've gone and I've measured everything correctly, I'll overthink and I'm like, did I put 10 ml of olive oil?
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to remove myself from the equation, make it easier. Someone else makes it.
Okay. So it's more or less kind of that removal of the stress factor, I guess, like kind of leaving it in someone else's hands. You know exactly all the measurements all the way through. I mean, yeah, that's very common practice. I mean, I come from like a gymming background, and that's where I resonate with kind of managing your weight. So I think calorie tracking is a dangerous path to kind of follow down as well. Like there are people that get super nitpicky with even like, I know people that are resistant on like even including like seasoning in their food, which is insane, like sodium and sodium levels, where there is a point where it's like you need to relax and understand that your body's still going to just deal with those extra 0.001 calories just for a bit of flavor. But I think, understanding, like, I think sauces and oils are something that's so easily overlooked, and you can lose track of it. And then where people aren't seeing that progress, it can be a lot of the times in those food staples that you're just not really acknowledging that, you know, have those extra calories.
Exactly.
So obviously the nutrition plan, you know, having that meal prep done for you, that's obviously, so you found that that's helped. Like do you think like mentally that's really helped in sticking to a trajectory? Obviously you know, it's consistent calories and you know what's going in and out, but I think has it helped you feel more confident with using the meal plans and then also the medication that it's going to work essentially?
100%.
Yeah,
I think without the meal plans alongside the Manjaro, it would be a lot more difficult for me. Because it removes the stress factor. All I have to do is put in the microwave and then I get to eat. I don't need to think about cooking or cleaning up after myself. So, just that's what I did.
Yeah.
And then I started on 2.5 and I thought to myself, I'll see how it goes. And luckily, it's worked.
So you're still tracking along. So do you mind if I ask how much you've kind of dropped in weight? Or is that something you're right to share?
No, I've lost 12 kilograms.
Wow, that's amazing. In the first 3 months?
Yeah.
That's really impressive. So basically 1 kilogram a week.
Yeah.
That's,
I think, more than 1 kilogram a week, maybe.
Yeah, give or take. Damn, yeah. That's really impressive.
Yeah, it really does suppress your appetite.
Yeah, that is what we tend to consistently hear. Like, I guess that's the main factor in the medication, that it is people that tend to have not even an unhealthy relationship with food. They just tend to find that they just can't seem to stop, or they don't understand where that portion control lies.
Exactly.
So it does help confine you in some of those areas. Amazing. Well, that's brilliant work. You should be absolutely wrapped on that. So I guess we've kind of touched on the meal planning side of things. So is that the most significant lifestyle change that you've kind of felt since starting the medication, or has there been anything else?
I mean, that's what's helped me the most.
Right.
I think for a lot of people, it's they don't really understand that you have to make, it might be difficult for them to understand, it might, you have to actually make a change in your calories that you consume. And the medication doesn't work alone, obviously, and it will not work alone if you're not in a calorie deficit.
I mean, from what I've seen, and like I say, touching on the whole gymming aspect before, like in my head, it's more or less like, calorie deficit, you're going to lose weight, calorie surplus, you're going to put on. It's like a maintenance kind of zone where you'll just stagnate at the same weight, right? Like just ingredients in and out kind of thing, right? So I think, with the medication, people are naturally going to be going into a caloric deficit. So I think that's where obviously that substantial weight loss comes from. And I think kind of the awareness of that it is a suppressant above all else. Obviously, there are other benefits to the medication as well, you know, like it's being prescribed to type 2 diabetics, you know.
Yeah.
I think people coming in and assuming that it's just going to solve all of their problems whilst they're still eating, you know, high oil, high fat foods, like it's, and then they get frustrated when they're not losing that weight, I think that's something that definitely needs to be communicated more, especially throughout the community as well. Like obviously, working in the marketing team, we kind of see a lot of that material being pushed out, and people do have those frustrations where they're not immediately responding, but they're not changing the way that they're eating or the way that they're moving their body. So it's obviously, you're obviously aware of what needs to happen, and you've got that knowledge base at least.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it tells, right?
Yeah. I think it's, you can eat what you like, it's just that your portions need to be smaller. Like for me, I would end up, if I'm trying to lose weight, I would try to be extremely clean.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work in the long term because you always end up bouncing back. So you want to incorporate things that you can keep long term.
Definitely. Well, it's about not going cold turkey, right? Like they talk about that in every form. Addiction's probably the wrong word for it, but like anything that you've got a relationship with, like going hard cold turkey and then completely flipping that switch, there's a high chance that you're going to bounce back harder and faster.
Exactly.
So I think just as long as people can still incorporate the things they love whilst having a bit of control and awareness of what they're doing, especially with portions, you know, it's going to be the best way moving forward. And it means they're going to stick to that regime. And that's where we do definitely see the most success coming from as well, especially with, you know, kind of those star patients, I guess you want to call them. What's kind of the plan moving forward then? Like how long are you planning on being on the medication? Like, do you have a goal weight or target time frame that you're kind of looking to aim for?
I mean, my main goal is to have a lifestyle where I can incorporate everything I like to eat and not be so restrictive. I mean, I must say I'm very restrictive now. But, being able to go out with my friends and still maintain a good weight. I would say, I mean, my goal weight is about 50-ish.
Brilliant.
Because I am very short, so
you
I
are
have
very
to,
short.
Yeah. Thanks. I have to take that into account.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to go to the gym. I mean, my goal was 5 times a week.
How are you going?
Well, I did try to cancel my gym membership, but I was convinced not to. So that's
I think
to it, say.
It's one of those things where obviously you talk about cold turkey. I think also committing to ambitions that are like might almost seem too far down, which will completely demoralize you. Yeah. And then obviously it gets to the point where it's just like, oh, what's even the point? Right?
Yeah,
like,
it's I think true.
Kind of those baby steps just to get you on board just with exercising and just moving your body. Like even if it's, yeah, like 2 or 3 times a week, I think is the recommended amount.
Yeah.
Put an asterisk somewhere if there's more credible advice. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, just making sure that you're doing something during the week. I think that's the most important part rather than just, you know, sitting in the office, catching the train, eating, sleeping, repeat, right?
That's true. Well, I do walk to the microwave.
That's true as well.
And then I take into my steps.
You know, and then you walk back from the microwave back to the chairs as well. That's fair
10,000 steps.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So, all right. Well, those are really great goals to have, I guess. And it's nice that you're kind of maintaining that exercise regime as well. I think that's really an integral part of, I guess, formulating that new lifestyle as well. So I think we're going to kind of shift across to the fact that you're obviously an employee at Right Angle as well. Do you think that having worked here that gave you a bit more insight into, obviously it would give you more insight into taking the medication and understanding like the ins and outs, being able to chat to the pharmacist directly.
Yeah.
But did that have any influence on confirming like this is the right medication for me?
It did. It did help a lot. And actually reading people's emails, seeing their own journeys and emailing us saying they've lost this much weight and they're really happy also reassured me.
Definitely. So
even though people don't know when I'm emailing, they don't know that I'm also on Mounjaro. Yeah. So it's like when I see their positive, how they're going, like their positive reviews, I feel like, you know, and it helps me as well.
Definitely. Well, it keeps you informed, right? And then you're aware of like potentially other factors that kind of come into the medication or, you know, how well people are responding to it.
Exactly.
So I guess it's just nice to be almost hyper aware of everything that's going on with it, especially in the fact that like currently like a lot of our businesses generated through kind of that weight loss sector as well. Yeah. Like that's what you're dealing with predominantly on
that's
the email side of things. So yeah, I mean that it must be really informative kind of sitting on the other side of the screen.
I guess because I'm also on the same journey as many people, I can also try and give my best advice.
Definitely. Well, you can resonate, right?
Exactly.
That's where it sits.
Yeah. And we do have an amazing team.
And you've got an amazing team. Yeah, of course you do.
No, but actually, most people would probably feel shy or embarrassed to tell their colleagues they're on Mounjaro. And they probably want to hide it. But we're very lucky. I'm very lucky, you know, to feel very supported.
Yeah, I think it is a super supportive culture that we've got here as well.
Very supportive.
Leans on each other quite a bit as well. I mean,
having
only been here, like I'm reasonably fresh to the company as well, but you can already see that the community aspect's great and everyone's helping each other out kind of thing. So it's no wonder that you feel comfortable and confident to come onto this kind of platform and have a chat about your experience. Okay, cool. So having started obviously a few months ago, you've probably had enough time. Well, you will have had enough time to get a gauge on how you respond to the medication and how well it's working for you.
Yeah.
For anyone that's looking to start their weight loss journey, obviously also with the beneficial fact that you work here. What advice would you give people kind of making that consideration or they're like umming and ahhing about hopping on?
So for myself, I was extremely motivated by achieving the body that I want. And I really struggled to do it by myself, like I said. So I think if you're someone that is at that point in your life where you really want that change to happen, I think that you should go for it. Of course, you should also take into account that you have to be in a calorie deficit, but you should always be patient with yourself. Like, I always get people emailing and they get quite upset that they're not losing the weight that they want or they're not certain. And it's always best to be patient because your weight can fluctuate from day to day. Things can always change. But this overall is a lifestyle that you're change you're trying to make. So this can help you in that journey. That's what I would say. But yeah, I'm very lucky in the position I am. I get to give out, you know, when I'm actually responding to people, it's actually coming from the heart. It's like a genuine response.
I was going to say, well, it's obviously something that you're passionate about as well. And because you're doing it, like you're part of this whole community. Like it's valuable for you to get those insights from other people. And also you're able to probably contribute something really valuable back to them as well. So that's, it must be satisfying knowing that it's kind of like that two-way straight, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. It's always nice to see, to hear that people are doing well on the medication and they, you know, they're getting to their goal body.
Cool. Amazing. Well, that's really great to hear. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Well, this has been another episode of the Another Angle podcast. I've been Hunter, your dedicated host. This has been Magdalene, one of our fantastic customer service team / weight loss extraordinaire. We'll be on next week with another episode of the podcast, which will be streaming across Spotify, Apple Music, and on YouTube.